We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, now Semper Fi, welcome in to this Thursday edition of Sports Talk on WWL. After immense criticism for his comments about the flag and standing for the flag during the national anthem, Saints quarterback Drew Brees has issued an apology, and he issued it on Instagram. Quote, "I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates, the city of New Orleans, the black community, NFL community, and anyone I hurt with my comments yesterday. And speaking with some of you, it breaks my heart to know that the pain I've caused in an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem. I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issue we are facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful and have misled people into believing that somehow I am the enemy. This could not be further from the truth, and it's not an accurate reflection of my heart or my character. This is where I stand. I stand with the black community in the fight against systemic racial injustice and police brutality and support the creation of real policy change that will make a difference. I condemn the years of oppression that have taken place throughout our black communities and still exist today. I acknowledge that we as Americans, including myself, have not done enough to fight for the equality or truly understand the struggles and plight of the black community. I recognize I am part of the solution and can be a leader for the black community in this movement. I will never know what it's like to be a black man or raise black children in America, but I will work every day to put myself in those shoes and fight for what is right. I've always been an ally, never an enemy. I'm sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday, but I take full responsibility and accountability. I recognize that I should do less talking and more listening. And when the black community is talking about their pain, we all need to listen. For that, I am very sorry, and I ask for your forgiveness." Some of his teammates already, Michael Thomas and others, DeMario Davis, have pledged their forgiveness to Drew Brees. And in fact, DeMario Davis telling CNN that for him to admit that he's wrong is leadership at its finest. Bobby, where do you stand now with Drew Brees issuing an apology?
Well, that's what he had to do. If people expect more, what else do you want him more to do? Because a lot of times actions is above words, but at this day and age, boy, you got to choose your words carefully. And I think Drew realizes that now, but he's been active and he's let his actions do the talking. Now going forward, you know, the populace, not only the NFL, but is going to look at that. Because to say Drew Brees is not a good guy or, you know, I don't accept his apology, then look at yourself in the mirror. If you ever had a mistake and you know, you sincere with your apology, do you want forgiveness or not? I think we are a forgiving country. I think you have to keep it in the right perspective. And it is, you know, how you choose your words. Luke Johnson, you know, of the Picayune Advocate, I think he was right on. It was one key word in there yesterday. Whenever you use the word never, boy, doesn't never sound like that's a final and that you're not budging? And at this day and age, now, we all got to listen more than talk, but we own a talk show, so we have to talk. But you still have to be willing to listen to broaden your horizons and get educated. But when he was asked about the potential kneeling protests making a return on the NFL sidelines, because that could happen even without fans this fall. And then he made the comment that he said, "I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States or our country." Then Luke Johnson went on to say that we need to have a conversation about Drew's use of the word never, a word that implies you are unwilling to consider these protests were never about disrespecting a flag, an anthem, or a country in the first place. It was dealing with police brutality. So that's why, you know, when we all get to the point and you want to do the right thing and you progress as an individual or a society, you can't be so stubborn that you're not willing to learn and to be a better person and do the right thing going forward. That's not going to happen overnight. Might not happen a few weeks, months. It might take years, but it's a process. And that's why you have to do the right thing, whether it's legislation, whatever, to get it done, where you don't have a few bad apples affecting the whole process as far as the police department. And that's what we have to do going forward. You have to learn from it. And now it's at the forefront, not sweeping under the rug. We got to acknowledge it and make things happen. Now, I look at Drew, and I truly believe that he believes this. I think a number of us believe this. Not everybody, but if you truly get to the point, let's say we live in a Christian nation or you have a faith in God or something, and I think Drew believes this. God created us all equal. That's what he said. We all have a responsibility to love each other and to respect each other. Drew even posted a quote about Nelson Mandela. You know, Nelson Mandela, look, he was jailed for 27 years during apartheid for his activism and efforts to overthrow the South African government in 1962. Now, he later became the president of the country in 1994. And Mandela, he wrote a book. It's called The Long Walk to Freedom. I would challenge a number of people to read this. And he says in the book, no one is born hating another person because of their color of skin or his background or his religion. People must learn to hate. If they can learn to hate, they can learn to be taught to love. That was Nelson Mandela. And I think that's where we're at right now, that it's a process that no matter what you were taught by your ancestors or your parents, and then now you might have young kids, and you could be part of the healing process and going forward where we truly are created equal under God's eyes. And we have that responsibility. If you're going to be a true democracy and freedom, you have to love one another and respect one another. And I think that's where we're at right now going forward. And I just think it's divisive times right now. But, you know, you might be wounded. And when you think about it, there's really been deep wounds for centuries. But you cannot have a closed mind and say it's always going to stay this way. But as a white man, Christian, as I look at you and me, that we have to comprehend what's going on and we have to listen and not say, I don't view it that way. Everyone has an opinion, but you have to be willing to expand your horizons and learn and make this a better country.
Our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. Do you accept Drew Brees' apology? Cast your vote online right there at WWL.com or call us or text us at 504-260-1870. Clarence Verdan joining us now. Clarence is a former teammate of the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hager. Clarence, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it getting through, man. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Clarence, how you been, man?
All right.
One of the greatest punt returners in NFL history. I know that.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I've been listening to the show and, you know, big fan of y'all's, man. And No, a comment on yesterday, but just me personally, man. You know, I think, you know, sometimes as athletes and entertainers and people that we put on pedestals, they get so complacent with themselves and they figure they can say things and people accept it because of who they are. And you got all these yes men behind them going to always agree. You ever been to a party when one guy who he's the famous guy in the party, everybody laughing at jokes that he's saying that ain't not funny and agreeing with everything he says? So this particular thing here, man, you know, I mean, that topic there, man, right now people are sensitive, man. And it's just not about Brother Floyd. You know, you're talking about Garner, you're talking about Trayvon Martin. I mean, it's been going on for decades as a black man. You know, I live in a black man world. I go to a black neighborhood every day, and I was raised in a black neighborhood in Compton and moved to Dulac. So, you know, I experienced these things, man. And you know, and what Drew said that yesterday, bro, because he specifically said it slowly and say, I want to make this clear. When he said that, I was like, it stung me. Like, oh, then he said, well, then he brought his grandfather in and all that. But, you know, Brother Drew, you know, we all have grandfathers that been in the military. And that wasn't that, and that is not the topic that people are protesting about. For you to even try to deviate that and go there and think you was going to get brownie points because your grandfather in the military, well, he's no different than my grandfather, you know. So, and then when he came back and what you just read, his apology, dude, that's your attorneys wrote that. That's not you, man. Come on, we know. That's your PR team. Get back on Facebook, on Instagram, like you did, or get on, or come on y'all show, or go on TV and face people face to face. And then let me see your heart. Let me see your expression, man. See, I don't do social media because people hide behind all this. I want to see the expression in your face because you can text and say, mouth can say anything, man. You know, I had incidents, man, when I was with the coach with, you know who I'm talking about, Bobby. I'm not going to say it. We played with it, you know, in Indianapolis. You know, and we had to put him in check, bro. And I went and put him in check. Like, dog, you wrong, man. You know, and so some things, man, you stay out of. Because people are going to interpret it because you don't know what everybody paying. Man, I've been living in New Orleans almost 35 years. And I have experienced some things here as a black man that, you know, I told my dad, they was blown away. Because I didn't want to start no problems. I didn't want nobody. Man, I got followed one time from Canal Street to Eastover, and once I went through the gate, I turned around and went to the gate and asked the guy at the guard gate, man, this police followed me. He said, man, he asked me who you was. Because, you know, and I know why, you know, and then one, I was on the lake one day, man, they embarrassed me and my brother, man, threw me out the car. Everybody should hang out on the lake on Sunday. Man, I'm 25. Right. I got a Mercedes convertible. I go hang out with some, you know, Saints players, everybody hang out. Man, I had my music loud. Man, the guy, when they came and pulled me over, I thought it was a prank. I said, man, NFL doing a prank scene on me. Man, they threw us on the ground, got us out. And again, the guy asked me, can I read? I looked at him like, what you mean, can you read? I'm like, yeah, I can read. He said, did you see those signs on that damn tree? I'm like, dude, I'm looking at all these girls out here. What? If you want me to look at the sign, put the sign in the middle of the road. The sign's way on the tree over there. I'm not looking at the tree. And man, then he give my wallet, find out where I live. And he say, oh, you live in Eastover. You live by a certain person. Eastover was famous at the time. I was like, what that have to do with it? Oh, you have a good day. I said, yeah, I'm going to tell him you was a hell of an officer too, man. I mean, so these are things, bro, as a black man, we experience, man. And you know, and if you ain't been in those shoes, but it's hard to explain, bro. And, but I'm going to just say this, and I agree with you too, Bob. I mean, the place that where I didn't see racism was among the football when I was in the locker room, you know. And once I left out of there, man, you know, you come to a different world. So when Drew's saying that, you know, the black community, this and the black, man, you, the only guys that you deal with is the black players that in that locker room. When you leave out that Saints conflict, man, you go home, bro. You don't go down to Ninth Ward. Man, come on, bro. Let's be real. So that stuff right there, you're throwing gas on the fight. Shut your mouth, take your lick, bro, and move on, man. You know, I'm just going to say
so
it like this. Then you got some players. Hold on. I'm going to say this. You got some players that really want to say what they want to say, but they can't say it because they scared of their jobs, bro. Come on, man. Let's keep it real.
Well, the thing is, Clarence, like you said, the reason why, one reason, if you're going to keep it real, why Michael Thomas or Malcolm Jenkins could say what they said, they're already established. You know what I mean?
They're not just
trying to make it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it just, bro, this is, man, you know what, and I'm just saying this here, bro, you know, and I'm just a realist, man, you know, it's just, I think change is going to come when you change those who make decisions. because we can sit here and march and be peaceful like Martin Luther King. Man, my grandmother caught the train to go to D.C. to see him speak. Now her great-grandkids walking down at a protest for the same thing 52 years later. I mean, come on, man. Dude, look at this picture. You know, what are you going to take? Cause then we're worried about looting and all that. Man, we can rebuild buildings. But you can't bring a life back. We worry about people, buildings burned down and people stealing. Man, dude, you don't know that person's story. Man, I'm not going to judge nobody until I hear their story. Because a lot of them little kids out there breaking stuff, they probably try to tell, hey, man, the police did this to me. Y'all didn't hear me. So now I'm acting out. So understand their story, their pain, Clarence. Man, their hurt, man. People
Clarence,
hurting out here, bro.
Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question, Clarence?
Yes. Yes.
So I don't think you're saying you condone the violence in the protests and burning down things, right?
That's not what I just said. I said you got to understand their story, they hurt, their pain. Is a reason why I say I don't condone it, but until I say, man, you know, man, you didn't listen to me because, man, I have a friend of mine, his son, about 3 years ago, got beat up, man. He looked like Mike Tyson beat him up. Police just beat him up, you know, and they marched and they prayed and they marched and nothing was done about it, you know. And so these things, and so he's frustrated, you know, because I said the conversation that black men, my daddy told me, bro, when I was in high school, you know, I went to Thibodeau, hey, look, let me tell you something, son. You better not speed. You better not. These are conversations that we had with our sons, and it was told to me. So I'm paranoid. I see a police. I see when I was in high school, I used to see a police pull on side me. Man, it looked like I was a statue in the car. You know, it's fright, bro. I mean, I seen it in L.A. I grew up around Watts and all that. I saw it, bro. Racial profile, so it's there, man. And until you experience it, bro, it's hard to explain. And you can read all the books you want and say all these quotes you want, but reality, bro, when it happened to you, man, dude. Because I'm gonna tell you what, when he was laying on that ground, I know he had no clue. Within 3 minutes, bro, you won't be here, bro. This man crying
now,
out.
Clarence. Now, do you think going forward? And when you look at the process, and I don't think this will be swept under the rug like in the past, because just how people are being active day after day.
I'm gonna say this here,
bro.
If it's not, we don't think it's gonna be swept under the rug. But if it do, it won't surprise me. Because look at
Trayvon Martin. Well, but Clarence, don't you think right now? Don't you think with the right leadership that you can have the police reform, whatever it might take to weed out the bad apples and
you.
That could be recruiting the right policeman.
Thank you.
What
I just said about 3 minutes ago, change will not come until we change those who are in positions to make decisions. And you're right, until we change those who are in position, because we can sit here and talk and march all day and picking and kumbaya all day, bro. But those who are in position that can make decisions, if it ain't in their heart, because at the end of the day, got to go trust their death to sign off on stuff. Man, it ain't going to happen, bro.
Clarence, I'm not trying to cut you off in any way, shape, or form. We're behind on a break. I appreciate your call.
I appreciate it, man. Y'all enjoy yourself, bro.
All right, take care. Right. Clarence Verdant, former Saints. Punt returner, kick returner, Bobby's teammate. We'll step away and come back to you. Accept Drew Brees' apology. 504-260-1870. Give us a buzz or shoot us a text. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Bobby and Christian back here on Sports Talk. Trislin on a cell phone. Go ahead, Trislin. You're on WWL.
Hi, Christian. I want to say, first of all, that my 18-year-old daughter is sitting here. She's obsessed with Bobby Hebert. She loves him. She listens to him every day. And she's sitting here with tears in her eyes. And I have to play so many roles right now for my children. I'm the mother of a black male. He's 14 years old. He's 225 pounds, and he's 6'4". We have been harassed by the police on so many occasions. And as a black woman, it angers me, the comment that Drew Brees made. And I was ready to put my jersey on eBay and sell it. But I accept his apology because the Bible tells me that I have to as a Christian. But in terms of information being provided to Drew Brees and thinking that's going to transform him, that will not happen. And unfortunately, I believe that for Drew Brees and the likes of him, we'll be having the same conversation 52 years from now, yet another time, because they're totally insensitive to what it feels like to walk in Walmart as an innocent person trying to shop and get food for my family, and the police is following us and calling us names and following us to our car when we decide to leave the store. It's hard when you are a single mother of a black male and you try to send him to the best schools when he's judged by his size as the big boy, as he's been called, because of his athletic ability and not seeing who he is as a person. So, yes, I'm hurt. I'm very disappointed in Drew Brees, and I think that as not as a black person, but as a people, we have to do better. My son deserves better. I deserve to sleep at night and not have to wonder if he's going to make it home when he comes from practice. I deserve better. My son deserves better. We didn't choose
now,
to be black.
Do you think going forward you got to look at the light end of the tunnel. It might not look like that right now, but do you think that they could have police reform? Whether you're getting, whether it could be part of it, also a higher pay, you can attract potential candidates there, better training. And I think this is important because it is human nature when you're in the neighborhood that independent bodies to investigate wrongdoing by officers. Because look what happened in Georgia, how that takes weeks to come about. And when you see something is right, is wrong, is wrong. And to me, sometimes you need that outside influence who don't have, always say, a dog in the fight and don't have a relationship with maybe the perpetrator, whether it's a police officer or whatever, and could be objective. Do you think we could come about with that from a federal standpoint to be able to monitor that and make the police force better and educate them where they're not profiling and doing the wrong thing?
Bobby, it's a mindset. I don't think training, I don't think education, I don't think any of those things is going to bring a true change. You have to walk in my shoes to know what it is to let my children out the car, and I don't know if I'm going to see them alive again. It's deeper than training. Is deeper than
so you don't think so wait so you don't think people could be learn to be more empathetic and have sympathy? You don't think because the older you get, maybe how your parents influence you. I know a lot of the millennials and their mindset is kind of almost a transition, and they don't think maybe like how their grandma and grandpa, I'm talking about white people, how they thought and how they brought up right now. Now I'm not saying that it's across the board. That just look at the protesters. How many are out there? How many white individuals? So don't you think there's at least a little hope or promise when you look at that compared to maybe what you would have dealt with, you know, even 5 years ago, obviously, you know, civil rights era 50 years ago plus?
My thing is the hardest thing to do is to change somebody's mind. In the Bible, when Pharaoh held those people as slaves, the hardest thing to do was to transform their mind and make them aware of the fact that they were free. They had slaves who were freed, but in their mind, they were still enslaved. And until these police officers face consequences for their actions, like the police officer who followed us in Walmart, just so happens I have a law degree. I know what the law is. I know how to stand up for my rights. So he messed with the wrong mother on the wrong day. And he suffered minor consequences, but the scars that have been left when my children have to ride in a car, in a police car, when they see a police car right on the side of us, to see my children clench up and wonder if we're going to survive. Bobby, you don't understand what it feels like.
No, I know. I'm not pretending. I'm not pretending. I'm understanding. But I know my kids definitely think way different than me because I was in between. How I look at my grandparents and all and the mindset back then compared to what it is now. So I think you got to give more hope to the younger generation and going forward versus, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. They're going to have old racist people, and they ain't changing where they're at in their life. Sorry, that sounds kind of harsh, but I think the youth of America, I think, can be changed. I'm just optimistic with that because I see it in my own kids that could be the case. You know, when it comes about this, and I said this yesterday, it's how you prioritize and how you view things, whether you're looking at, looting versus a life. And, you know, listen, kind of the white people look at it like this, about, you know what? It's horrible that an innocent black man was killed. But destroying property has to stop. Why not say it's horrible that property is being destroyed, but killing innocent black men has to stop? So you see, just the wording and the verbiage there and how you think and how you process stuff, I think the younger generations would maybe take that approach more than the first approach, that they would say, look, it's horrible that property is being destroyed, but killing innocent black men has to stop. I think the younger generation would take more of that stance.
Tristan, thanks for the phone call. We will step away and come back to Ken. Excuse me. Ken on a cell phone, Ken and Metairie, along with Frank and Marrero, Brown on a cell phone, Guy in Mississippi, Joe in New Orleans East. This is Sports Talk. Do you accept Drew Brees' apology? Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call us at 504-260-187. You can also shoot us a text at that same number. This is Saints Radio, WWL. The NBA released their reopening plans. We'll get to that in a few moments. First, though, Ken on a cell phone, do you accept Drew Brees' apology? Go ahead, Ken. You're on WWL.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I would accept his apology. Yeah, well, the problem is the lack of education. I heard what Brees had to say, and when he got to the part where he talked about, he thought about his grandfathers that fought in World War II and how they made all their sacrifices. See that part right there? That showed me right there. That showed me he had no clue as to what the history was of America, because just like his grandparents fought during World War II, thousands and millions of black men fought in World War II. The difference is when they came home, they did not come home to a hero's welcome. They came back to the racist South and the racism that existed, that still exists to a certain degree, in this country. That's what they had to deal with. So when he talks about a tear comes in his eye, a tear comes in my eye also because of the disrespect and the conditions that black veterans had to go through when they came back. Show you how crazy this is.
And you know what, Ken, it was even worse. It was even worse after World War One. When you had African-American fighters, even after World War One, and it was still bad after World War Two, but it was just they're fighting for this country and not being recognized properly.
Let's take it a step further. Okay, we fought Germany. Germany was our enemy. Hitler was the leader. We beat Germany at the end of the war. Brees' grandfathers could go to lunch with the Germans. He could not go to lunch with his comrades, his black comrades that he fought with to defeat Germany. So his grandfather could go to lunch with their enemies, but yet his own people, his own fellow comrades, his own fellow soldiers that died and gave up their blood, just like Brees' grandfathers did and many others did, because of Jim Crow.
And you know what, Ken, I'm not defending Drew Brees, but I think a lot of white people or some families, even in general, it can be maybe also from an economic standpoint, you kind of live in a vacuum. Now think about that. You live in a vacuum. And you kind of know your little circle, and you really don't know was happening from a broad perspective. Does that make sense? So I think what Drew was saying, he wasn't saying it mean-spirited. He was just thinking that, you know, it was like in the vacuum, what he's associated with. Now, you have to realize that it's much more, because we're always like, what about me? What about me? Well, what about my family? You know, and Drew's like, look at my grandfather, what he did. And listen, it's unbelievable. Iwo Jima and all, but then you have to realize all the other families that also was a part of that. And you see, I think it's just sometimes as a people, we might just look at our own little circle and don't broaden our horizons, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're right. Now, in 1944, they came up with the GI Bill. That was America's effort to thank the veterans, thank the Army, the Navy, the Marines, whatever, to thank our soldiers for giving up their life, their blood, to fight for this country. Do you know when the GI Bill came, very few blacks could take advantage of the GI Bill? Number one, they couldn't go to school because they would not give them the money to go to school. Number two, if you tried to buy a house, where, how are you going to buy a house? Especially if you lived in the South. Do you think a black man could go to a bank in 1946 and secure a loan to build a house in Louisiana? Hell no. In any other style, any other state in the South, there were the Dixocrats, the Democrats in the South. They were very fearful of the black man coming back from the war.
So wait, but Ken, think about this. When you talk about the Deep South, okay, well, how do you, and I think we get a bad rap, sometimes deservedly so, but how about the busing issues in Boston? That's a northern state. Look what's happened in Minneapolis. So I'm looking north, south, east, west. So I think sometimes we just get thrown under the bus. And the whole country got to look in the mirror.
I don't mean to throw white people in the South under the bus. I mean to throw everyone that doesn't know the history of America under the bus. I don't care where you live. There were over 600,000 people, veterans in New York and New Jersey that received the GI Bill and the benefits that were offered. Only 100 blacks were able to secure those benefits, were able to buy their homes in the New Jersey and the New York area. So, you know, this was nationwide. It's all about knowing the history of America. And of course, whoever's writing the book, they're going to only highlight all the positive things that they do. They're not going to tell you the whole story. They're going to limit it to their story. See, so that's why Drew Brees can stand and say that he's a tear comes to his eye and he think about his grandparents fighting in the war, his grandfather's fighting in the war. You know, we as black men, we don't have that same love of country, because we know what the story, we know what the true story is about America in its full entity, the full entirety of it. And that's why I was upset with Breeze, because, you know, it's a silly thing to say when you don't know the history of America.
Ken, thanks for the phone call.
Now, Ken, but Ken, going forward, wouldn't you think that America has hope, where if you were living in China or North Korea, you have no hope? You understand the point I'm making there? You talk about the system, and listen, that's why I hate extreme groups. I don't care if you're too far to the right or you're too far to the left. And if you're going to be anti-capitalist and you're going to be anarchist and you want to throw away America, what? Show me a better system, considering the melting pot and the population. You could show me a small country in Europe, maybe you think they got it together. But I'm saying overall, considering the size of America, when you compare it to the superpowers like in China or even what you're dealing with in North Korea, I mean, that's why I think there's hope. If I was in China, I'd freaking think there's no hope. Look what happened to Tiananmen Square in 1989. People protesting there, they just disappear. You never hear anything about it. Talk about being swept under the rug where you don't even exist anymore. So that's why I'm trying to look at the glass half full, and I still think there's positive measures going forward, because of the youth and how they think compared to way whether like how their grandparents might have thought.
Ken, thanks for the phone call. All right, this is Sports Talk. Coming back to your calls here on Saints Radio, WWL. All right, if you're on hold, sit tight. Duke and White Castle, along with Nick Uptown Joe in New Orleans East, Guy in Mississippi Brown on the cell phone, and Frank and Marrero. You guys will lead off next hour here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.